Tell me, what is the importance of the church? And tell me, is it important what church you go to?
I see his excitement, right, for this, and it encourages me. Other celebrity, quote-unquote, Christians who have come out proclaiming Jesus, but then their journeys have not ended well. Is this another one of those times? It's always good to see someone who is seeking the Lord and asking these kinds of questions, no matter what their past looks like. Let's just come alongside him and help him. Amen? Russell Brand recently shared an Instagram video where he asked Christians to help him determine which church he should go to. I love this opportunity because here at Wise Disciple, we're going to let the Bible answer all of Brand's questions. So stay tuned for all of that. If you're new here, welcome to Wise Disciple. My name is Nate Sala, and I'm helping you become the effective Christian that you are meant to be. Before I jumped into this ministry, I was a pastor and Bible teacher for a number of years, and so it is from that experience that I make these videos. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel, and if this video blesses you at all, would you do me a favor and share it with someone else so that we can continue to get the word out about Wise Disciple? I'd really appreciate it. Also, don't forget to check out the awesome offer over at logos.com/Wise Disciple. Logos Bible Software is the Bible app that I use to study the Bible, and it's a game changer for the student of Scripture. The link for that is below.
I've been going to church, a church where they do Alpha courses. I guess that's sort of Church of England. I've been to a Catholic church, and I'm considering going to a Eastern Orthodox church. Do you think the different denominations and distinctions are important when you look at God and the figure of Christ from, as best as one might claim, a universal perspective, if you feel that you can be universal on a subject like kindness or service or surrender or gratitude or overcoming the self or understanding that what you're experiencing in the moment, even if it is suffering, is God's will. I know that there are numerous distinctions, ecclesiastical and ontological, but I feel that at the moment I'm moving towards a kind of moment of baptism. I mean, are you baptized? Did you get baptized as an adult? Like, would you do it in a river? Would you do it in a font? Do you want to get fully under that? Because me, I want River Jordan or River Thames at worst. I want proper plunging and... Tell me, what is the importance of the church? And tell me, is it important what church you go to? Because I'm just learning, man. I'm just learning. And, you know, if I don't get clear guidance, I'll have to make a decision just sort of based on what petal I'm on. Let me know what you're into. In the holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
So wonderful to hear this from Russell Brand. Yeah, I've been aware of him as an actor for some time, not as a comedian, and most recently, I guess now, as an influencer and podcaster. He's certainly been the center of some controversy as well. But it's always good to see someone who is seeking the Lord and asking these kinds of questions, no matter what their past looks like. Amen? Particularly, though, these questions come at a time when everything is public, you know, including like your spiritual journey and all of your steps and maybe even potential missteps along the way. These are all broadcast for everyone to see on social media. And so for Brand to, I don't know, like put it out there in this way, particularly on Instagram, I think it's great. I genuinely hope that he follows Jesus for the rest of his life. And, you know, let me acknowledge what some of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, but Kanye, Nate, and other celebrity, quote-unquote, Christians who have come out proclaiming Jesus, but then their journeys have not ended well. Is this another one of those times? My answer is, it's irrelevant. Not only is it irrelevant, it's unimportant for us to be thinking along these lines at this very moment. And my hope and prayer is that the Christians that are around Brand locally at the church that he's going to will walk alongside him and disciple him properly. Whether he sticks with it along the way or he falls away, that'll come out in due time as he's being properly discipled and submitting to God's word and church leadership, right? But let's just come alongside him and help him. Amen? He did make some interesting comments and ask some great questions, though. So let's go through them one at a time.
I've been going to church, a church where they do Alpha courses. I guess that's sort of Church of England. I've been to...
Yeah, so Alpha courses are pretty solid. I sat through, if I remember this right, I remember the first episode in a series of Alpha trainings. And this was at a church in Las Vegas with a group of singles. you know, that's a long story. The point is, it's a pretty solid apologetics-oriented series of videos. So it's not just that Brand is considering Christianity. It sounds like he's getting a solid foundation of initial training as he continues to pursue Christ. So that's promising. And I hope he continues the course all the way through and, more importantly, meets some wise brothers who can, again, walk alongside him and disciple him well.
To a Catholic church, and I'm considering going to a Eastern Orthodox church. Do you think the different denominations and distinctions are important when you look at God and the figure of Christ from, as best as one might claim, a universal perspective, if you feel that you can be universal on a subject like kindness or service or surrender or gratitude or overcoming the self or understanding that what you're experiencing in the moment, even if it is suffering, is God's will? I know.
So this is an interesting question. The last part of this question, I'm not even sure that I understand, but the first part of the question is something that I think we all should ask, right? At some point in our Christian experience, we should be asking the question, what does church look like? Now, Brand asked it more along the lines of denomination, but I think the real question is, what does God intend for his church to look like? I asked this question myself when I left a church years back before I became a pastor. It's funny because I was never even confronted with this question when I was getting my theology degree, and it was only when I had to leave a church and find another one that it dawned on me that this question was vitally important. The Bible does give us a picture of what church should look like. I've mentioned this before in a previous video, but I think that there are several key passages of Scripture that help us to understand this question. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, the church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is one of the central passages of Scripture that answers Russell Brand's question, if not the central passage of Scripture. So pay close attention to the picture of what the body of believers look like. It comes down to a few important things, okay? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You see that? That means that a good church, if you're on the lookout for a good church, it's going to devote itself to the teaching of Jesus and of the Word of God. Notice the word devoted, right? That means they placed high priority on these things, on the teachings of Jesus, and so should we. I don't know about the UK, but many churches in the United States, they do not put this as a priority. They put together presentations that resemble motivational TED Talks, but they do not seek to plumb the depths of the real treasure of Scripture. And consequently, the congregants at these churches do not understand God's Word. They do not understand their role as followers of Jesus, and they are stunted in their spiritual growth. That's why it's important to find a church that is not only serious about understanding and obeying the teaching of Jesus and the Word of God, but they devote themselves to it as Acts chapter 2 shows us. Okay? Also, notice they devoted themselves to fellowship, right? The basic understanding of fellowship is to partner with others. This is like a sharing of each other's lives and resources. The church gave themselves to each other. They spent time together. They ate food together. They shared the possessions that they had with each other. These are the kinds of people that Russell Brand should be looking for when he's looking for a new church. Now, I'll acknowledge this is not easy to pull off, okay? You know, these kinds of folks are sometimes difficult to find. And you just cannot identify these kinds of people and figure all of this out on one Sunday morning. This takes time. As a matter of fact, maybe some of you are right there right now. You're looking and you're discouraged because you haven't found your people yet. All I can tell you is don't give up. If God's church looks like people devoting themselves to this kind of self-sacrificial, Christ-like lifestyle. You cannot settle for anything less. Do you hear me? So again, you're looking for a church that devotes itself to God's word. You're also looking for a church that devotes itself to fellowshipping with each other, which is way more than seeing the same people on Sunday morning as you walk in and out of the building, right? The early church also, take a look at this, devoted themselves to communion. Communion is it's what it means by the breaking of bread, right? It's the command of Christ to eat bread and drink wine and recognize that when he did this with his disciples, he said, "This is my body, this is my blood, do this in remembrance of me." It is fundamental that you find a church that obeys the command of Christ to partake in communion. Besides being obedient to Christ, you know, taking communion demands of us that we examine ourselves too, as we fellowship together corporately. So there's an element of this that invites us to check ourselves and maybe fix potential issues that may have sprung up in our lives so that we can realign to God's word. The Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup," this is the communion that Paul is referring to, "you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord," here it is, "in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So again, communion, it causes us to sometimes go to our brothers and sisters, if we have something against them, and first reconcile, you know, it causes us to evaluate our relationship and commitment to God every single time. The church of God must absolutely partake in communion in this way as a regular aspect of worship and fellowship. None of these things are negotiable, by the way. Hey, real quick, I hope this video is blessing you. Would you do me a favor and like and subscribe to the channel? It really does help me to get this video out to more and more people. I really do appreciate it. And finally, the early church devoted themselves to prayer. You see that? It's right. It's all there in verse 42. Prayer, again, is one of those features of church that may be hard to find initially, right? A church that really, truly prays, okay? But you have to find these people nonetheless. And we can't just pray. We need to devote ourselves to prayer. And we need to be around other people that devote themselves to prayer too. Why? Well, because those kinds of prayer warriors, they end up rubbing off on everyone else as we all fellowship and spend time together with the rest of the body. So that's a picture of what God's church looks like. A moment ago, I said that the early church devoted itself to the teachings of Jesus and the Word of God. But the reason why they did that is for a very specific outcome. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, this is what it says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to," here it is, "equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And it goes on to describe more of those aspects and qualities. Again, pay close attention to some of these important words and phrases right there, right? Equip, okay? Work of ministry right there. You see it? Building up the body of Christ, right? Knowledge of God, okay? Verse 13. Knowledge of the Son of God, I should say. Maturity, okay? Mature manhood and fullness of Christ there at the end of verse 13. All of these words and phrases are connected to what the people of God, the saints, are supposed to look like as a byproduct of gathering together at church. They're supposed to be equipped. They're supposed to be doing the work of ministry. They're supposed to have the knowledge of the Son of God. They're supposed to be mature and display Christ-like qualities in their conduct. That's what a good church looks like. That's the kind of church Russell Brand should be looking for. Now, there's a lot more to say about all this, but this is at least the very least that we can say about what a good church looks like. Amen?
That there are numerous distinctions, ecclesiastical and ontological, but I feel that at the moment I'm moving towards a kind of moment of baptism. I mean, are you baptized? Did you get baptized as an adult? Would you do it in a river? Would you do it in a font? Do you want to get fully under there? Because me, I want River Jordan or River Thames at worst.
So I see his excitement, right, for this, and it just, it encourages me. You know, I remember the feeling the same way when I was baptized, right? It was an amazing experience, not because it gave me the feels and the sky parted and the Lord spoke out of the sky or something, but because I was saying something incredibly important in the simple act of obeying my Lord. Every Christian that gets baptized is communicating that they have died with Christ and have been raised with him again. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This is what we are communicating when we get baptized. We are saying that this is the spiritual reality of ourselves now that we have been saved and are following after Jesus Christ. It's an exciting time. Now, Brand asked whether or not to get fully into the water. I think the way that the Bible reads, you should fully get into the water. I know some discussion is made about the Greek word for baptism and whether or not that means immersion or pouring water over you or something like that. But I think the picture that Paul gives in Romans, right here, likening our baptism into going into the ground, right, and coming back up into resurrected life is best expressed by fully submerging into water until you disappear underneath it and then reemerge. Okay? Again, hey, there's a lot more to say about it, but that's my answer to Brand's question. By the way, what's your answer? I don't know if we've ever had this conversation before. Do you think full immersion is necessary for baptism or merely pouring or what do they say, sprinkling? You know, let me know in the comments below. Now, Brand mentioned something about universalism. Again, I'm not sure like what he's getting at here, you know? I think we hear universalism and we immediately think of the heresy of universalism, which teaches that all will be saved and go to heaven no matter what. But I don't know if that's what he meant when he said it. It sounds like he might be trying to understand maybe Catholicity. Like lowercase c Catholicity, which simply refers to the body of Christ everywhere. But I'm not entirely sure. Those are the comments that and the answers that I think the Bible certainly has for Brand when he asks these questions. But now it's your turn. What did you think there by Brand's questions? What did you think about Brand's comments on universalism? Let me know in the comments below. Hey, thanks for joining me in this video. If you made it this far, you definitely need to join the Patreon community. There's lots that we're doing over there. You can enjoy the free aspect of the Patreon community by jumping into my Bible study with me every morning, weekdays, Monday through Friday, or you can financially support me, which is how I make these videos in the first place. And if you do that, you'll get exclusive access to live streams, private live streams where you can ask me anything you want. You can get access to these videos before they drop on YouTube. The link for the Patreon is below. Hey, I'm going to return soon with more videos, but in the meantime, I'll say bye for now.